This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Joining me on Stockbox today is the CEO of Red Rock Resources, Andrew Bell. Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Good.
Very busy, but doing well.
Last time we spoke, Andrew, the licenses for Australia had been granted, and you were very excited about that, and you were looking forward to getting started with exploration, which has also now begun. So what's the latest? What can you tell us about Australia?
Well, we've announced in one of the first three licenses we've been granted, we have three good targets to start exploration on. All of them, the targets we've chosen, because we think we're not going to be able to just to do the very short term, work on them, but because we have specifically a program leading to drilling on each of them. So we're expecting to generate drill targets quite quickly from that, which means we'll be drilling in Australia as soon as ever we can. Meantime, of course, as you know, we are moving those assets towards a listing, and we've got a 43-101 done, from which you may deduce that we've been looking very hard at the TSX.
Yes. Okay. No, that makes sense, Andrew. Are you? What are you looking forward to with Australia?
We're looking forward to, first of all, getting our exploration going on these ones, building our infrastructure out a little there, getting to know everybody, and cranking up our community relations program, and getting in due course some of the other licenses issued as well. We've got the 43-101 done. We've got the nucleus of a team, a good local team. I mean, after all, that's no problem in Australia, getting good people who are going to run it. And so we now need to start the process formally in Canada, because up to now we've been talking to the lawyers, talking to other people, but we haven't pressed the button so that we didn't start accruing charges. Now we can press the button.
Okay. And let's talk about Kenya for a moment then, Andrew. I believe you were out there recently. What's the latest there?
Well, as you know, we got our licenses back in August. There's been a bit of a delay getting it up on the cadastre, but just as in the last week we got the Australian licenses up on the Geofic Victoria online system showing the licenses as granted. So in Kenya, they went up on the mining cadastre at the end of last week, so everyone can see we've got them. Now, what we're doing there is we're updating our JORC resource from JORC 2004 to JORC 2012, which means we have to have a PREE. We have to have a potentially, eventually economic recoverable. It means we have to do a high-level pit shell to say that this looks economic, broad figures. And for that, you look at the slope of the pit, you look at the grade, you look at the cost of moving dirt, and you look at the gold price, and you look at the basic parameters, and you design a pit and see how much is within it. So CSA are updating that. They're just finishing that work and now going into internal review. And then, of course, they come back to us, and we go back to them, and we make sure that we're all agreed as to what they've done, but we're being a pusher for them. We're saying, yes, let's do this. Let's reduce the number of ounces and increase the grade, because what we're left with then is we're left with a very definable pit shell where people can see we can create a mine with this much resource. Whereas before, people would look at the resource and say, looks a bit strung out. How do we know it's ever going to be coherent, particularly with the grade a bit low? So I think it's actually, the exercise of doing this has been tremendously valuable from two points of view. First, I think it's forced us to do the thing which will improve the value of the asset in people's eyes, which will show that there is a pit there where you can produce a lot of gold, a really good baseline starting point. Secondly, by looking at the areas along strike just outside the pit that's defined, you can say, well, we put in one hole here, But if we'd put in another hole there, we could have extended that shoot of high grade, and that would have meant we could have done a bigger pit shell in that direction, included those resources. So we know exactly where to put the next few drill holes, and when we get the mineral resource estimate announced, we shall also be coming out with a drill program, telling people where we're going to be drilling and what the objectives of that drill program are, which is, of course, to build ounces and build grade.
Okay. So you mentioned the mineral resource estimate. When do you expect that to be available?
Well, you know, if I could tell you that, I wouldn't be allowed to. But I think, you know, it's been going for a little while. You wouldn't expect it to be much longer. Mm-hmm. But the process of very careful review is something that can take a shorter time or a longer time. And we have chosen to have very thorough to and fro on this, where everyone gets their say and we compare people's views, because one of the disadvantages, of course, is that although CSA have been on site before, they did the original mineral resource estimate, people aren't able to go and look at it on site now and have this debate while they're actually looking at it. So we are bringing in all the expertise we can in order to arrive at the right answers.
Okay, so moving on to the DRC, Andrew, were you there recently as well?
I intended to, but when DRC got put on this list of the quarantine, I thought I was going to be shut up in a Heathrow hotel for 10 days if I went to Congo, and I hadn't taken enough clothes or anything with me, or papers or work, in order to be able to do that. So I came back here, reculé pour mieux sauter, I can go back out there. And being willing, if I do, to combine it with other countries and serve my 10 days or whatever in other countries which don't carry with them a sort of effective incarceration when you get back here. So it needs just a bit more planning, but I'm going to be out there very, very shortly because, of course, we have an active drill program there. Mm-hmm. Our Luanshimba tenement, we've been doing geophysics on. We've done geochemistry, two lots of geochemistry before. And we've done the magnetics. We're looking at the results of that to get our IP lines, which will be the next phase in the near future. It's the rainy season, which means things can be held up a bit by logistics and rain. But actually, it's not a bad time to be doing the geophysics itself. So we've got some good results coming through. Everyone is immensely optimistic. Again, we have experts in South Africa, in Congo, where they really know this style of mineralization, and then the interpretation being done by geophysicists in Canada. And so we'll be coming out with an interim announcement on that. And then when we do the IP, that will give us our drill targets. And that's why it's so important, again, to get the IP line placement right, is because this is specifically designed to give us drill targets. And any hour spent on considering where your drill hole should be is not an hour wasted, because once you start drilling, the cost goes up and you can't adjust so easily as you go along. So we're very, I would say, excited about that, because the environment is the same as historically. The environment, you know, the geological features that have been associated with significant finds in the past. And all the indicators are there. So, of course, you always have to drill, because until you drill, you don't really know. But it's looking good. So we'll have news out on that. So then we will have announcements that will come out on Congo, on Kenya, and on Australia, leading up to drill programs in the near future in all three places.
Okay, so hopefully a very active news flow ahead to come, Andrew. And of course, this coming Friday, the company holds its AGM. It's going to be a little bit different this year, I think, for most companies who are doing AGMs. They're all held virtually. But what would be the main message that you want to communicate to shareholders this year?
Well, the first one, of course, is sorry. I'm really sorry we can't have a meeting that people can attend. And of course, that is not within our control. But we have tried to make up for it by having an online question and answer session through one group quite recently. And I think after the results, we'll get somebody else to do an online Q&A. And I think things are moving that way. From what I hear, the Stock Exchange is doing these online seminars and they're booked up to the end of April. Because after all, how else can people really communicate and interact with shareholders? So we're going to be doing that. So that's the first message. Sorry. And we'll make an extra effort to keep in touch with everybody. Second question is really preemptive because people won't get enough opportunity to ask it in person, is why do we need, we get it every year, why do we need additional authority to issue shares? And the answer is we are like a pharmaceutical development company or a technology company. We have a long pre-revenue phase. We are still in that pre-revenue phase. Lots of people think, oh, well, really, you know, you're producing or could be producing overnight. It's actually, the expenses mount as you move towards launch, as they do with the other technologies too. And we will need to have more money. We've got some investments which we can realize part of, but that's the seed corn. That's, you know, rainy day money. And it isn't comparable in scale to the amount of money you would need to truly advance any of our projects. We also have, of course, warrant money, and we do expect that as the price will go up, and we don't see any reason why it shouldn't. It's been performing quite well, even in the absence of a strong gold price. As the price goes up, we'd expect warrant conversions to start to come in. We have to keep the news flow going, because if people convert warrants and want to sell, we can't have that impacting the share price. But we've thought of this well in advance. We know we do have that news flow coming. And so, you know, I think we're going to get money from that too. But we also need to have the ability, which of course we use as sparingly as possible, to issue shares and do placements, which after all is what AIM is good for. We hope we don't have to do it. We hope we don't have to do it for a long time. We hope we don't have to do it in essence at a higher price. But, you know, we're continually reviewing all the contingencies and looking at what we must do, rather than what we might prefer to do. And we are substantial shareholders ourselves. And I, for example, have options which come in at 2p and 2.5p. And the share price at the moment is 1.2p. So the last thing I want to do is do anything that's dilutive, because you know, I'm not going to have in my working lifetime that many more opportunities to build real value. So this one, we've got really good projects. We've got a good market. We're at the right stage for these projects to move ahead. We're going to try to make every penny count and you know, use money wisely. So the answer to that question is, yes, we really do need these authorities, and it is important for us. And nobody should be frightened of the fact that we want to at some stage in the future raise more money, because that's a sign of success. You know, it's obvious that if we drill a big program in Kenya or in Australia, although we hope to be able to lay that off by listing, or in Congo, it's because it's justified by the prospects. But we're not going to go any further than the projects allow us to, and where we find that the grades are not as high as we want at any stage, we're going to bring in partners. We may bring in partners already. We're constantly talking to partners in these places. The thing is, of course, that you cannot rely on a deal with a partner, because the timing of that is always going to depend on them as well. So we have to have our own bullets, our own ammunition, rather than believe that we can borrow them from somebody else later. So that's probably the second message for the AGM. But the third and most important message of all is that we think this is our year. This is the year when everything comes together. And if you take last year, we didn't do a lot exploration because we hadn't really been given these licenses. We weren't at the starting point. But here we are, starting point in Kenya, at the starting line in Australia, And I think with the conclusion of this round of geophysics, we'll very obviously be at the start line in Congo. And we can make great progress in what looks like a good market for gold and a good market for copper.
Okay. Well, Andrew Bell there, the CEO of Red Rock Resources, thank you very much for your time.
And another message, of course, is that if any shareholders want to get in touch with me, try to make myself available. But even if they don't have my phone number, if they write to me and say they'd like to speak, I'll fix it up and speak to them. Because, again, we are aware of all the forces that prevent us interacting more easily. And we have to counter them by being very proactive and trying to speak to our shareholders and keep in touch with them.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at Stockbox Media.